Sean McDonough, Notre Dame. I think a team of interest to our next guest over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl last night. So Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, Ohio State.
Righto.
That works. And I'm fine with that. No Alabama, Georgia. Good. I'm bored with those teams. USC. I'm old enough to still be bored with USC.
I haven't thought about USC in like in a sentence with Georgia and Alabama in 20 years.
Nebraska. Thank God they're not in it.
What the?
I'm sick of Nebraska being in the playoffs.
My God, what is even? Tom Osborne and Pete Carroll are on line two.
Yep, well, line two. Sam Panayotovich, the host of BetQL Daily, line one. Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more analysis. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. As you know, Sam, I am not like an avid college football guy, but riding along with you on Notre Dame and with Joe, who's a fan, has been fun and so far lucrative.
Two more to go, Mike. Happy New Year, guys. We bet them, you know, 10-1. Bracket came out. Basically, the goal, the thought process was, okay, they'll beat Indiana at home and they'll beat a backup quarterback. So we are in a holding pattern right now. And, you know, we talked this morning, which is certainly not a victory lap because we didn't win anything yet on the future. I'm wondering if I'm going to find myself on Ohio State to just win the title in the next few days, because that's sort of strategically what I think the move would be. And then you just hope that you get Notre Dame through Penn State and hope that Ohio State takes care of business as a 6-point favorite. And then you have the title game. You got 10-1 on Notre Dame and, you know, plus 170 or so on Ohio State and kick your feet up. That could all come to a screeching halt if Penn State wins and Texas wins. But I like the math there. I think Notre Dame's going to win, and I do think Ohio State holds serve.
Notre Dame looked good to me. I don't know names. 44 around the edge, pretty good. Quarterback was tough.
Numbers are fine. Numbers are fine, Mike.
Yeah, quarterback, Leonard, he was pretty tough. And yeah, like Georgia couldn't do much.
The only thing they had going on offense, really, Notre Dame in that game, was the quarterback running, it seemed like. And he did a nice pass there right before halftime off that turnover by 44. Right, but they didn't have much offense, but they got done.
Well, that's what happens when you face Georgia, though, Bulldog. Right, I mean, they've got NFL guys all over the field, and I think the people that are saying, well, Notre Dame couldn't do anything on offense, well, that might be the best defense in the country that they just faced. And people start doing the transitive property and gambling. And if you were doing that on Notre Dame, I mean, how much on Instagram and, like, the TikTok person at our company keeps sending me all these comments of people telling, well, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. Like, that freaking matters in September. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And people are going to sit here and say, well, you know, Notre Dame didn't score. Well, okay, Penn State played SMU and Boise. And Penn State was still sort of in a war despite Boise having 4 turnovers and 2 missed field goals. So we could transitive property each other to death. I was impressed with Notre Dame, and I'll tell you what, the one thing that was not possible, according to the narratives across the country, there was no way that Kirby Smart would be outcoached by Marcus Freeman, and that happened too.
Wow. Yeah, so that guy did a great job. He's getting a ton of credit.
Yeah. Let's give him a bunch of credit.
Yeah, you seem a little sensitive. I wasn't dogging Notre Dame. I was really my observation was that they couldn't do much on offense, but it wasn't, you know, don't worry, I'm not down on your bet, dude.
No. I'm speaking to the people on Instagram that have been calling me four-eyed virgin for 2 weeks. Yeah. That's who I'm channeling my anger towards.
So how do you like them with Penn State? And then, I don't know, either of the other two from the other side.
So we'll see if Notre Dame can get by Penn State, and I hope they do. I like the under in the game, 47, to be perfectly honest. I think that's going to be the first of 20 is going to win. You'll see Ohio State be about a 7-point favorite, 7.5-point favorite on Notre Dame. That's a look ahead, at least with my numbers. Mm-hmm. And then if it's Notre Dame Texas, we're talking about a pick 'em. If Texas can pull the upset, maybe Texas -1. But Texas is slightly ahead of Notre Dame in the ratings, and Ohio State is now, you know, a touchdown better than basically every other team in the field. So that's where they're at. You know, I like betting against James Franklin in games like this. He's taking care of business usually against these teams where he's laying 7 and 14 and 21 points, but when they're supposed to lose or be in a close game, they usually find a way to mess it up. So I just need one more. Like, that's all I'm asking for New Year's, and then we find our next bet.
Sam, you mentioned Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois not mattering, a team that lost to UB, by the way, maybe the next week. I guess also Ohio State losing to Michigan didn't matter, which makes me a little bit sad. I mean, Bulldogs overplaying the Tom Osborne didn't need to be mentioned, but you know, any sort of traditional viewpoint of college football. Do you have, as into it as you are, do you have either a prediction or a suggestion for what they will do next year to the tournament? The four bye week teams all lost. I don't know. Do we want a game like Ohio State, Michigan to be irrelevant? Doesn't have to be. Ohio State, Penn State might not have been irrelevant. But, you know, what do you think will be different?
It's a great question. I think what they have to look long and hard at is the number one seed playing that 8-9 matchup. That just should not happen because they just didn't value the regular season at all. Imagine being an Oregon fan right now. Your team goes undefeated, wins the conference championship, does everything right, and then in its first game, Oregon gets Ohio State.
Who they beat.
Yeah.
Right?
Who they beat. And then you look at Texas. You know, Texas plays Clemson, lowly Clemson, and then Texas plays Arizona State. That's an easy path. Penn State, as we mentioned, gets SMU and gets Boise. And it's not fair to the team that did everything right for 4 months and then doesn't get rewarded at all. If anything, it felt like Oregon got punished. I don't have the solution for who gets byes and who doesn't and which teams and which conferences have more weight. But I have to imagine you start with the number one seed and build backwards. So maybe the one doesn't play, you know, the 8 or the 9. Maybe I don't know, guys. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, if they do anything. But I have to imagine if they're going to go to the drawing board, you have to put the one seed in a much better spot where maybe the one plays the weakest conference, you know, survivor left, or maybe you reseed every round. That could also be a thing. But then again, if you reseeded this year, they'd play Ohio State. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know.
The whole thing, though, like, of course, there's always going to be, however good or bad a system is, there's always going to be, like, critique and, like, how do we make it better? This thing has been a win so far, right? Like, are people down on the expanded? Because I think it's been, you know, the games haven't been all super competitive, but I'm fine with the whole thing.
The initial reports ratings are very good, and I tell you what, I talked to an executive the other day who's very happy about, well, it would have been yesterday, not the other day, very happy about the teams in the Final Four for ratings. I mean, come on, Notre Dame, Penn State in one game, and then Ohio State, Texas in the other. Now, sure, the SEC's, you know, I guess lightly represented because we don't think of Texas as an SEC team, right, even though they are right now. But you have the Northeast, you have the Midwest, you have the South, and then you have Notre Dame. So it's aside from maybe getting an Oregon, but Oregon's supposed to win. Like, that's Oregon's fault. Oregon didn't play well. I think the brands are strong. I think the ratings are strong. And the most important thing in my work, the handle is unbelievable. People are betting on these games hand over fist, right, and that's what you want.
Sam Paniatovich, our guest. So week 18 in the NFL, Sam, and this is life on the wire, trying to figure out motivation. Joe Ostrowski, your co-host from BetQL Daily, joined us yesterday and said that historically, for some period of time, the teams with, quote, nothing to play for have been the right side overall against teams with a stake. So, like, that's New Orleans, Tampa, that's Kansas City, Denver this week. I don't know. What do you like this week, or is it head for the hills?
The first bet I made on week 18 was Minnesota +3. The second bet I made was the Chiefs to cover and Carson Wentz to score a touchdown at 10-1. Is it going to hit? I don't know, but I played it. You know, they're gonna try and show some stuff with him, and I don't think the Chiefs are a team to just, you know, lay on the rails and get run over. They won last year, a game that had no meaning for them, and I like to go against these teams that are facing pressure. You know, the Cincinnati's for the most part, the Denver's of the world, you know, teams that must win to get in. usually slipped up somewhere along the way. So that's the reality. Guys, I'm not going to make many bets though week 18. I mean, here are the quarterbacks starting. Bailey Zappe, Tanner McKee, Josh Dobbs, Jimmy Garoppolo, Spencer Rattler, Mac Jones, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, Aiden O'Connell, Mason Rudolph, potentially Cooper Rush, Tyler Huntley, and a whole lot of Mitch Trubisky. It's hard to bet games when you just don't know who's going to play well, which teams care, which teams don't. It's not a week I'll have a lot of action. People don't want to hear that, but that's the truth.
I appreciate the thorough job you did in having that list prepared. Did you slip in a made-up name? Who is Tanner McKee?
Eagles.
Tanner McKee, former Stanford quarterback, Bulldog, very, very good player, allegedly. He's the backup to the backup in Philly because you have no Hurts and you have no Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
3 for 4 for 2 touchdowns last week. He did something that's like never been done.
Can you tell I was on vacation 2 days before Christmas and I just came back yesterday, Sam?
Oh, dude, you want to talk vacation?
I missed all the highlights.
11 pounds. I gained 11 pounds in 8 days. I haven't had a fruit or a vegetable since I left Boston.
Oh, boy. Where was that pizza from?
I believe that.
Chicago?
I believe
yesterday?
That.
Which pizza? I've had 6 of them. I mean, it's been. And then Ostrowski's like, I'm pounding candy every night before bed, and I'm like, dude, we get in a groove. Like, if I was a betting trend right now, I have eaten unhealthy in 9 of the last 10 days.
Oh.
That's my trend right now.
Abrams would be tweeting about your diet.
While I was off at the very tail end, you know, I know the menu by heart at the joint I go to regularly. Maybe, you know, probably most people do. I was sitting there thinking, I think maybe a Caesar salad with some chicken. Like, I think maybe that's where I'm gonna sit at the bar and eat a Caesar salad with chicken just because I need some roughage.
And then what? That just opens up the gallows, though. I mean, that just opens everything up. Last night, to tell a long story short, we were sitting around and she goes, "What do you want for dinner?" I was like, "Nothing." And she said, "I'm feeling lasagna," and I don't want lasagna. Cut to an hour later, I'm eating lasagna with my bare hands. That's where I'm at.
Sounds like a great trip.
Plus, when you drink, like, you just don't really want to eat, you know, like if these are late nights out watching or middays out watching college bowl games,
yep.
Just don't even want to eat. Well, you liked my schedule predictions?
I think your nails, I mean, you studied it maybe more than anybody I've ever met. So I think you're onto it. I think that's very sensible. The only other thing that I wanted to volley off you guys is there a bet to be made in Buffalo, New England? Like, I don't expect we're going to see a lot of fireworks from Buffalo. And the total is now 36.5. I mean, is there anything to do in that game?
I think the thing, it's I don't have a great answer for you, but the Bills have completed touchdown passes to 13 different players. And I believe 14 would set a franchise record. So find a guy that doesn't have a touchdown reception. The thing that's tricky here is, like, it could be a lineman for all we know, right? Like, they've got this 6th offensive lineman, Alec Anderson, who's been playing a lot this year, and it would be a nice reward for him doing all this grunt work he's done. But I think any guy there that could catch a pass, if you can find him on the list of, you know, anytime touchdowns, like, that's the bet, I think. But I don't know which.
That's the challenge.
Find the guy, even. Like, can you get action on Alec Anderson to catch a touchdown pass? Probably not.
Very unlikely. It's hard to price a guy like that, too.
Right.
And then the other elephant in the room is, you know, Buffalo's only a 3-point favorite against a team that has its sights set on the number one pick but is also trying to win the game. Like, how do you nobody wants the number one pick, guys. Nobody.
I think this would be my answer to your question. It would be New England if May plays. I mean, they lost by 3 up here in a game that mattered to the Bills.
Right.
It would be if May plays, which is really interesting if he does, with the number one pick point. He's got a couple of injuries. If they do that, like, and Mayo is trying to prove himself here in the last game and take something from it, that's Brian Flores for Miami in New England when Fitz was his quarterback and they beat Brady. And that was a huge loss for the Patriots. So I would think, like, that would reveal a motivation from the Patriots, from the coach, and, you know, the use of the quarterback that would make me want to take points at home with them against, I don't know, Mike White, probably, for some of this game. That's what I would do.
I understand everything you're saying, but then you look at New England and they would slide from number one overall pick to number five. And it's just like that is organizational malpractice.
It is, but it's a year, I think, where you can maybe never justify it. You can never justify it. But it's a year where maybe it's not as costly because they have their quarterback. And, you know, who does it come down to when these games kick off? It comes down to the coach and the players who don't care.
Right. I thought yesterday, Sam, and, you know, we'll see. There's still a couple of days before this game gets here. It sounds like they are hell-bent on playing May in this game, but I don't know that someone up top wouldn't want to even, with especially Mayo's been sort of on thin ice here the last month or so. I could see up top just trying to even test him. Like, we want you to sit May down. Like, he's our future. He's your future. What are you doing here? And I still feel like that could happen before this game kicks off on Sunday.
At the same time, I could also see Robert Kraft trying to get his fingers out of the finger trap in his office. Like, I don't know if that guy knows where he's at this point. So, if you can talk yourself into both sides, you probably shouldn't bet the game. The only bet that we made all week, Joe and I together, we pounded Derrick Henry to score a touchdown. That was -210. Now it's like 240, 250. He gets 500 large if he scores one more rushing touchdown. It's moved a little bit, but if you want to parlay that with some stuff or play that in like some daily fantasy, I would be surprised if Derrick Henry doesn't score a touchdown.
Makes sense. But, I mean, you're forgetting that they're a 20-point favorite in the wind. Wait, no, that makes it perfect. That's actually the absolute perfect.
You think they're not going to give him the ball for 500,000? Lamar's going to make sure he gets in that end zone.
I bet you're right. Sam, thanks. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk next Friday.
All right, boys. Always fun. See ya.
The host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That Cleveland-Baltimore game is the first game of the weekend tomorrow at 4:30 ABC for that one. And, yes, it's literally a 20-point spread. 30.5 to 10.5 is the implied total there. Bailey Zappe and the Browns, who put a bunch of guys on IR today.
Sweet.
They're dug in. They are dug in. We'll take a break and talk some more. Sal joins us at 4 today. The Dunn Tire Drive at 5. We'll be at 5. And then we'll have picks at 6 as usual. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Football Friday on WGR.